Thank you, Tony. And I always love to hear Tony sing, and of course, Miriam play. And they drive an hour and 40 minutes one way just to get here all the time. So I admire their dedication. I think if we had to list two of the top 10 questions pastors ask, would be this. Number one, once I am saved, may I lose my salvation? And according to Scripture, I believe in the security of the believer. Once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. The second question is this, and I just had this phone call last week from a senior adult member of our church. She had been talking with a friend, and I think one of her friend's children had committed suicide. And so our church member said, I've been in a theological discussion with my friend. And my friend thinks that if you commit suicide, you always go to hell. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, it's not God's will for us to take our own lives. I said, but once you're saved, you're always saved. I said, however, taking your own life is a sin. And that believer that commits suicide will have to answer for taking your life. This book you can buy on Amazon, or you might want to go to CBD, Christian Book Distributors, and it's just entitled, Why Suicide? Ken, I'm sure you've heard of that book before. And so I had Ellen to mail that book to our church member to share with her friend whose loved one had committed suicide. As you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, this is a text that many people like to use to tell you that once you've been saved, you can fall from grace, or you can lose your salvation. And we're going to read some words that seem kind of strange from Paul here, and it's going to raise questions. Like, look in verse 4. Paul says in verse 4, you have fallen from grace. And that makes you want to rub your eyes a little bit, go back and zero in and say, okay, let's read that again. You have fallen from grace. Well, maybe that's a bad translation. Let's look at a literal Greek text rendering. Here's the literal Greek text rendering, the grace you fell from. Well, that didn't help me either. Well, let me tell you what I've learned. Don't ever be afraid of the Word of God. When you study, I've learned that as you study it, you may not understand it, may not be able to explain it all, but I don't have to fear what God's Word says, and you don't either, because I believe this is infallible, inerrant, inspired Word. You don't have to shy away from it. You don't have to apologize for anything that you find, absolutely nothing. So, question is it possible for a Christian to fall from grace? What exactly does that mean? Look back at verse 4. Paul says you have fallen from grace. Is he saying that it's possible to be saved by grace, only then at a later time lose your salvation? Is it possible to be saved one minute and the next minute, as some people believe, be lost? I like what Paul wrote in Romans 8:39. He says, nor anything may separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And what about once saved, always saved? Does that contradict what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5? Well, now that I may have your attention here tonight, I want us to talk about the danger of falling from grace. Let's look at the first five verses here. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, any good Bible student knows that when you read a passage of Scripture, you got to keep it in its context. So, to truly understand a verse of Scripture, you've got to keep it in its context, and sometimes you've got to cross-reference a little bit. So, to understand what Paul meant when he wrote in verse 4, you have fallen from grace, you got to back up just a little bit. Notice, first of all, the imperative Paul proclaims in these first 5 verses. Now remember what was going on in this church. He was addressing the churches in the Galatian area. And remember, the Judaizers had come in, they had infiltrated the church, and they were teaching the believers who believed they were saved by faith in Christ plus nothing equals salvation. These Judaizers came in and said, you know, we believe in that salvation by grace too, plus keeping the law equals salvation, which is a false gospel. So you remember I told you that anytime you get an infection like that in your church, you get heresy, you're going to have disunity, and you're going to have dispute. So notice what Paul says. How do you handle this? There are 2 commands given in these verses. The first command is translated, stand fast. It's just a military term there from the Greek text. Let's talk about a soldier persevering. It's in present tense. He said, stand fast and keep on standing fast. Well, stand firm and fast about what? Verse 1. In the liberty by which Christ made us free. What started by the Spirit, talking about your salvation, cannot be completed by the flesh. So if you're saved by grace, then you stay saved by grace. Whatever you got saved by is what keeps you saved, and there's only one way to salvation. So if you got saved by grace, what keeps you saved? Grace. If you got saved by works, what keeps you saved? Works. But the Bible teaches us that it's impossible to live a perfect life and keep the law and earn your salvation. Now, somebody under the bondage of the law will say, now, if I believe that liberty you're talking about in Christ, that would be a license for me to sin. I could say I'm saved by grace and I've got liberty in Christ. I don't have to go about keeping the law to keep my salvation. Then I could just send up a storm and just come to God and remind him that he saved me by grace. Now, you wouldn't, and do you know why? Because a child of God who lives by faith will not become a rebel. Now, grace in no form or fashion is a license to sin. So Paul says in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ made us free. And then he goes on to say, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see that word entangle means to be held captive. He says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ made us free. And then on the negative side, he says, do not be entangled again. Don't be held captive as a prisoner with a yoke of bondage. He's saying, don't go over here and say you're saved by grace, and then you're over here practicing circumcision, and you're keeping the law, and you think that keeps you saved. Don't mix up those two systems. Not with grace. Don't get grace mixed up with a system of regulation. He said that puts you under bondage. In fact, Paul said such a person in chapter 3, verse 10 of Galatians, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So no wonder you're in such bondage, you've been cursed. Now we see a command in the Word of God, we need to follow it. You take somebody that's out on a battlefield who's a private first class, and a sergeant gives him an order, and he deliberately disobeys that order, that private first class is going to pay a price for disobedience. He's saying the Christian that goes back from grace into legalism will flounder in doubt about their salvation if they disobey this command. Now notice the second thing, the information about the background of this text. And we've already read verse 4, 5, and 6. Look at verse 7 and 8 too. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Now, verse 4, he says, you have become estranged. That means unemployed, unplugged. You are inactive. You've become idle from Christ. You have attempted to be justified by the law. He says, you have fallen from grace. And that raises a question. First, who is it that can fall from grace? Listen carefully. To whom is he, Paul, addressing this letter? Believers in the churches at Galatia. Now listen to me carefully. If you go to sleep, wake up. You're going to go outside of here and misquote what I'm trying to tell you. He's talking to the churches at Galatia. These are born-again believers. And go back here. He just finished saying, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which God has made us free. Question number one, who is it that can fall from grace? The saints, the born again, those who've experienced the liberty of grace. Now, I hear some of you thinking, now, Pastor, you're making me feel a little uneasy all of a sudden. That's good. That means you're listening. Now, listen to this carefully. I just said that saints can fall from grace. Now, I didn't say that. Paul says that. But do you remember me telling you a minute ago that you don't have to fear anything found in the Word of God? Now, keep in mind, as we consider the second question, what does it mean to fall from grace? Well, let's look at the Greek text. Maybe that'll help us. What does that word fall mean? It means to fall out, to fall down. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't help me at all. Doesn't help me either. I'm more nervous right now than I was 5 minutes ago. Well, maybe the key to understanding this is found in the Greek word grace. I hate to tell you this. That word grace in the Greek text, keratos, where we get our word charisma, which is a word used throughout the New Testament for grace. Well, if the Greek doesn't help us, what can? Look at the context. That's what? The context. What Paul's been writing about. He's been writing about law versus grace. He talks about the law of bondage versus the liberty of grace. And that's what he's been talking about. Now, here's what the context tells me. Falling from grace does not mean that you lose your salvation as a believer. These folks had not lost their salvation because that's not possible. But they'd moved out of the sphere of grace back into the sphere of the law. Does that make sense to you? Now here is law over here and grace over there, and he's saying they can't be combined. That'd just be like mixing oil and water. Now remember, it's one or the other. It's law or grace to go after. One is to abandon the other. In other words, Paul's been saying you can't follow both law and grace. What were the saints at Galatia doing? They were forsaking grace in order to follow the law. The Judaizers had invaded with their era, and the Christians had started believing what they were saying. And for them to start following the law and circumcision and all these other things meant that they were going away from the liberty that they have in Christ towards law. They're going back to the law. Now what happens? You surrender the blessings of grace in order to become a slave to the law. Now understand something. Just because they lost their grip on God's saving and sanctifying grace that doesn't mean that God lost his grip on those Galatian Christians. You know, sometimes we sing songs about, you know, we got to hold on. Well, I got news for you. The Lord never lets us go. He's the one that's got hold on our salvation. In fact, you remember where Jesus talked about in the Synoptic Gospels. He said, he's given us into his hand. Right? So my soul, your soul, born again, is in what? The grip of Jesus Christ. And then you read a little bit further. He said, I'm in the Father, and you are too. He talks about a double clutching grip. The Father and the Son has our soul. And Jesus never loses anyone who comes to him. So with me so far, what they were doing, the Christians were doing, they were forsaking grace in order to go back to following the law, but that didn't mean they had lost their salvation. So question number one, who can fall from grace? Question number two, what does it mean to fall from grace? They're moving from the liberty of grace, practicing the law and circumcision. Question number three, when does the fall take place? The fall from grace takes place when you move yourself back under the bondage of the law. When I was growing up, I was taught that you were saved by your works. And from a child, when I knew how to pray myself, I thought, till I was in college and got saved, I prayed every night when I put my head down on the pillow. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray, my Lord, my soul will keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul, he take. Why did I pray that prayer? I had no assurance of salvation because it was based on my works. And I didn't know if I'd been good enough that day to go to heaven or hell. I don't know about you, but I sleep better. And I don't ever pray that prayer anymore. Because I know when I got saved by my bed on my knees in my parents' house and gave my heart and my life to Jesus, I can never, ever lose that salvation. If you got that salvation, that's by grace. You live in the liberty of grace. And you don't go around living all the should, oughts, and musts of the law. That don't mean it's light sin. We got principles we need to follow, led by the Holy Spirit. So we're molded to be more like Christ. But we don't go back into living according to our works, earning and securing our salvation. I heard somebody say this recently. I wrote it down. There's nothing you can do so good to cause God to start loving you more. And there's nothing you can do so bad to cause God to love you less. I like what John MacArthur said. Paul's not dealing with the security of the believer, but with the contrasting ways of the grace and law, works and faith as a means of salvation. He's not teaching that a person who has once been justified can lose their righteous standing before God and become lost again by being circumcised or otherwise legalistic. He says the Bible knows nothing of becoming unjustified. Those whom God predestined, he also called. And he who called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So Paul's primary point here is this, throughout the letter, is that law and grace cannot be mixed. Salvation, look at this, as a means of salvation, they're totally incompatible. Now notice an infection that has spread. Beginning, if you will, in verse 9, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that will you take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Isn't that interesting? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go to the whole way and emasculate themselves. Now we read in verse 9 where Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. It's just so much like leaven. Jesus said in Matthew 16:6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. The leaven of the Sadducees was liberalism. 1 Corinthians 5:6, you do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Back in those days, the ladies would need some dough. They were making bread. And if they had a little dough left over, they'd put it in a dark place so it would ferment. How many of you used to grow bread in your refrigerators? You remember that craving that went on fad that was all over the place? Your neighbor would come over with a little thing. Say, look, my bread's growing, and it's grown so big, can't use it all. Would you take some of this and let it grow in your refrigerator? Next thing you know, you got a whole shelf full that you need. And, you know, finally, you just got to throw that stuff away. It would take over your whole refrigerator. And so what they did back in biblical times, they'd put that extra dough off the side, and it would ferment. And so later on when they're baking bread, if they wanted something like yeast in there, they'd reach over here and take off a pinch of that fermented bread they had put in there. That would be a little leaven, and that would make that bread rise. Well, Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What did I say the Pharisees represented? Hypocrisy. He said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. What was that? Liberalism. He says, they will contaminate your entire church. So he says, listen, the legalism of the Judaizers will ruin your church. And let me tell you something, it's true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Better be careful about people teaching false doctrine in your church. You have to confront that immediately. Now, Paul put it in a different way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let me ask you a question. How are you trying to live the Christian life? Should, oughts, and must? Legalism. Or are you living it through grace? Through love? Serving other people? Some people say, well, I'm saved. I can live any way I want to. I got news for a whole lot of people that are living like that. You know a tree by its fruit. And those are the kind of people with premeditated, habitual, continuous sin who say they once had a salvation experience with the Lord. They may have had a head experience, but not a heart experience. One of these days, the Lord's going to say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Sad. You know, it's kind of like a sheep. You go out on a farm, a sheep comes up close to a pig pen and falls in. What's going to happen to the sheep? That sheep's out of there. He got to go somewhere and wash off. Now, folks, my granddaddy raised hogs, and I used to go with him to slop the hogs. And the first time I went, I was in shock. I'm from the city. He said, "Man, go down here with me to slop the hogs." And he'd had two galvanized buckets about 2 days of leftover food from the kitchen. And he had a galvanized trough out there. And he just, man, that stuff had a smell. You know, when you threw that stuff, the wind had to be going in the proper direction. And I can remember it like it happened this morning. It's been 50 years ago. And boy, those hogs, they just gone. That's pretty close, isn't it? And they just come up there. But let me tell you what. If we'd have pulled one of my granddaddy's hogs out of that pigsty and taken him over there and washed him up with some lye soap, brushed his teeth like some of you do your pets, and just put a little scope mouthwash in him, and took some popular fragrance that some of you ladies use for perfume, and sprayed that all over that hog, what do you think he's going to do? He'd be going right back into that pig pen and wallow in the mud. Why? Why does he do that? Because that's in his nature. Now listen carefully. God's way for you to live the Christian life is not legalism, nor life of license. It's liberty. Grace doesn't set us free to sin. It sets us free from sin. And because I've been set free from sin by grace, it's the desire of my heart to please Him. It's impossible to lose your salvation. In the same way, it's impossible to stop being your parent's child. I remember when I was little, we'd be going to church. That was back in the days when my sister was about 4, 5, 6 years old. And ladies, you remember those Tony permanents? That they every Saturday night, my sister got a Tony permanent. That was child abuse, but we'd never heard. We couldn't have spelled it. If we'd have heard of it at our house, we were so poor. And they always put a stiff slip on my sister. She could have parachuted from 10,000 feet and landed softly. And she was a tomboy. She hated every minute of it. And patent leather shoes. And that hair just, you know, it looked like it had been rolled in orange juice cans, those little frozen ones. And then we were always dressed. If it was summertime, we were in shorts, dress shorts, white shirts, sport coats, ties, white shoes. I got proof. Those black and white those pictures don't fade like color. And you know, here's what Daddy would do. He'd grab my brother by one hand. He'd grab me by the other and take us to the car. And my poor bawling sister, she was back there being held, drugged to the car by my mama. And we'd get out to go to Sunday school. Daddy would grab my brother by one hand. He'd grab me by the other hand, take us to our Sunday school classes. My sister, she'd still be crying. And then they'd take us to church the same way. You didn't have kids' church back then. When you were small, you endured whatever the creature had to say from the pulpit. Middle of every service, my sister would break out crying. And they never could figure out why. There was steel penetrating the legs of her skin, but they just couldn't. You know what? I'd love to get home tonight, my dad. Be standing there in the den. Son, let's just take a walk down the road and talk. I'd love to take that big old hand. But he's been in heaven since 2009. I got a call just a few minutes ago. His last sibling, age 93, who's been healthy till 3 weeks ago, went to heaven. That's the total last of their family. She's already seen my daddy. But you know what? Even though I can't see my old daddy and I can't hold his hand, I'm still his son. And I want to finish this life well, because I don't want to bring reproach to his name. I'm saved by grace of God. And I'm not holding on to him. My Heavenly Father is holding on to me. And he adopted me into his family through the blood of his only son. And I want you to know that if a parent is holding a kid's hand, even when that kid lets go, he's still connected to his parents. And we feel like we're not holding on. The Heavenly Father has still got us by the hand. You can't ever lose your salvation. But make sure you enjoy living in the liberty of grace and not under the burden and the bonds of legalism. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for meeting with us tonight.